What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm Ant.
And I'm Jacob. What's going on, Ant?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good, man.
There's snow on the ground where I am. How's the weather out there?
Oh, gross. I mean, it's cold, but there's not snow on the ground. That's gross.
Yes. So we kind of derailed our road trip because I kind of lost track of where you were in the country. You had an interesting little weekend.
Yeah, you know, we had a tournament in Charlotte on Saturday, flew to Dallas, had a tournament in Dallas on Sunday, and flew home on Monday.
There you go. So, well, yeah. We're going to get into talking about Dallas, and there's no better person to talk about Dallas with than our guest tonight. Jacob, you want to introduce him?
Bring Pat on. Let's go. You're right. I think there is nobody better to talk about Dallas with. Tell us all about Dallas right now and the lack thereof with the Cowboys.
I don't want to talk Cowboys because that's depressing. And I I'll talk about my SMU team right there, buddy. We'll talk all day long about them. They're playing well.
Only got to go for the high notes.
The fact that it was probably 70 degrees here, no snow, so happy life for me. Pay me enough to live wherever it's snowing. Are you in Ohio?
Yeah, I'm in Ohio.
I'm out. No.
Snow.
I like the four seasons. You gotta have a change here and there.
Yeah, it's too cold too early. I want about 3 weeks of cold and the rest, let's just be warm and comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Well, speaking about traveling, Pat, where were you this past weekend?
This past weekend, we were in Barcelona, Spain. There was a big European club team tournament, which is kind of similar to our – I mean, it was a huge tournament. I guess they call it the World Championships of their club teams, which – you know, all their guys kind of mix and mingle. And, you know, you got national team guys from Italy and France and Spain. And they have their buddies, like their own versions of their YTGs or, you know, their BTBs or, you know, whatever teams you want to call them. Supremes and guys like that. But so we played two French teams in the semifinals and finals that had national team members on both of them, real good players, real good teams. But it would have been, you know, the equivalent of, not YTG. I would say more of a Supreme. They're more like that kind of a team, real smart, athletic, pulling flags. They're not going to overwhelm you with certain, well, I guess not lately Supreme. Supreme's been ridiculously great lately, but just more crafty and do really, really smart things. They're not just say, here, take the ball and I'm going to outrun you kind of thing or throw a post and just be faster than you. But, you know, they also get four downs. It was international play. So, you know, things are different. Very, very little contact, or they call it. The tournament was amazing, though. The facilities were amazing. They had this hut or villa that we were in at the resort. That was really cool. They had all these amenities and everything you could do, buffets. But I mean, like putt-putt golf, basketball courts, everything you could do at this place. And it was amazing. It was all included and everything. The tournament's one of the best I've been to as far as the other parts of the football tournament, you know. And then everybody behaves in Europe. They're not kind of difficult to deal with as much as, you know, what we do. So it was more calm. Even when I thought people were getting, you know, bad calls, they would lose it a little bit, but for the most part, not what we're used to, you know.
Yeah.
How was the food compared to Finland?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It was a lot better than Finland because Finland was the worst, like the worst. It was so bad. And the options in Finland were so bad. There was just very, very limited options. It was either this or this, and they were crap and crap, you know, so it was just bad and bad. the buffet was much better. They had pasta. They had marinara and Alfredo sauce, and they had fish and chicken and everything. The biggest difference really over there in general, in my experience, is the food is much more bland. Like they don't put enough seasoning on anything. I need salt, pepper, spice, Cajun, you know, I need you to put some butter and sugar and stuff like that. And I realize it's not healthy, but that's my choice. I would prefer to have flavor. So, yeah, not a big
You're talking to two guys who completely, well, one guy who completely agrees with that sentiment. Yeah.
That's the thing is, you know, I get the healthy thing, but at the same time, they had salad and stuff like that too. If you want, you know, if you want to stay healthy, do that. But I think if you're doing all that work and making that buffet and setting all that stuff up, let's throw some seasoning and some sugar and butter in there too. Mm-hmm. But overall, the food, it was a lot better than Finland. Don't get me wrong there. That part was awesome, but the food itself is still could use a little bit more seasoning for me.
Like I said, you're talking to one guy who definitely needs seasoning. You're talking to another guy who thinks cream cheese belongs on a Philly cheesesteak. So, yeah, we've got our extremes.
Everybody else wrong, for sure. I agree.
Hey, don't knock until you try it. You got to try it once.
This is a hill. This is a hill you're going to die on by yourself. None of us are going to agree with you.
Hey, the next time you run into Bruce Mapp's food truck, just bring some cream cheese with you and ask him to throw it on. Okay.
Absolutely not. His food truck was there this past weekend.
Philadelphia man's food truck and tell him what he needs to be putting on my Philly.
I'll do it in Tampa. I got no problem doing that.
Yeah, we know that's the problem.
We just clearly stated this is wrong because he just did something to a Philadelphia man's food truck. When he ordered by Philly.
Where's cream cheese from? Philadelphia.
Oh, that's a good point. That's okay.
Oh man, don't think
okay, but it's not for that. So you can't just say bagel. Hey, you know, where's I don't know, something Texas makes and just throw it on. It doesn't make it right.
Okay, I'm on
brisket.
don't put cream cheese on brisket, weirdo.
Yeah,
nobody's putting cream cheese on brisket.
So what you're doing to a steak sandwich?
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I learned it from a guy that grew up in Philly, and you know, it's
all right. I'll respect it until I try it, but I'm gonna go into it. Just know I'm probably already being biased.
Okay, Jim, you just gotta think that. A cheesesteak has cheese, different types of cheese on it.
Yeah.
Some places put like cheese whiz, some places put American. It's just a different type of cheese to throw on it. That's all.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So.
No, you're
Hey, Pat, I will buy you a sandwich in Tampa so you can try it. And we'll see how it goes.
He made that offer to me. Whatever.
Yeah.
Hey,
you're constantly ragging on me.
You're gonna want that Philly after day four of Subway.
Yeah. You know?
Too true.
That's turkey. Right. I just gotta time it right. And just on the fourth day, just be like, everybody, I got cream cheese.
Somebody tag Chuck.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we gotta stop talking about food here. What made you get into that tournament? Is that something you've gone to before, or you heard about it and you just wanted to go to Spain, or what was it?
No, actually zero knowledge of the tournament, zero knowledge of anything even coming up. The guy who runs TC United, Vince Mackey, is a good friend of mine. He knows me very well. I know him very well. He actually coaches the Denmark national team. He's hope. He coached the national Portugal team there in that same tournament, but he played in it as well. We just know each other very well. He thought I could help him, help his team, make them better all together. You know, so we got together. We watched some film. I talked to him about certain things he could do differently. We talked about his playbook, certain plays, trying to improve them and make them a little bit better, make him a little more comfortable. And then when I got out there, I think, you know, my resume kind of helped as far as running the defense. Everybody kind of fell into place, ran the defense. We did exceptionally well. The turnaround on their team in that little short term was absolutely amazing. We actually were up 16-0 at halftime of the championship game. We didn't end up winning, which is very unfortunate. And the defense was part of that in the second half. But pitching a shutout in that type of play where you get four downs to score, I couldn't ask any more. The fact that it was a goose egg and they get four downs each half of the field, and the no contact, it's already very difficult for the defense to play. So, yeah, really, really proud of them. They all listened to me. They all ran what I said. And even when I was wrong, they were like, cool, we'll fix it, whatever it is. You know, and when I was right, they implemented 90% of what I said. We had a couple of times where I was like, hey, they're going to do this, and we still didn't cover it. So I was a little pissed about that. But other than that, we did really well, and the team gelled, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, he invited me. He kind of hooked me up as far as going over there. You know, flights and things like that. So, you know, it wasn't really about the money as much as he made it easy for me where I could essentially take a trip to Portugal and Barcelona and, you know, visit a couple countries I'd never been to. So, it was well worth my time and effort. And I enjoyed it. You know, coaching football is not, it's not work for me. It's fun. I could do it with that, you know, in my sleep. So, I had a lot of fun, and I think I did help them. So it was fun on both ends, and whole, you know, just a great experience all around, experience in different countries and seeing what they do and seeing, you know, life's in these little towns and going to see different things. We saw a Roman bridge, which, you know, 2000 year old stuff, like, still around is nuts to me, but awesome. Cause we don't have that kind of history over here in the States.
Right.
Yeah.
Being a start till they decided to send somebody from Portugal here to find Yeah, pretty cool trip, and well worth it. A lot of fun.
So you mentioned, like, the you know, people adapting to, like, the no contact, and you said you had a few of the national players on the team. How did the guys who don't normally play this style, how did they adapt to that?
A lot of them have gotten better. There was two U.S. teams. The one I was coaching only had Mike Pardue on it, and he was in our 18, but not in our 12. The other right. U.S. team actually had Tronkey, a former U.S. quarterback, Lulu, our safety from the Finland games where we just won gold. They had Bobo, who was in the World Games and won a gold with us as well a few years ago. That's actually from that shirt behind me. Right. And they had Duke, who was a World Games receiver on that same team. They were pretty loaded. They had a really, yeah. really They had Mark Musgrove. They had Kevin, the rusher from Miami. They were loaded pretty well. And the team that beat us in the championship beat them in the semifinals. So I'm not downplay that they weren't great. They did what they were supposed to do. They won both those games. I think maybe this is taking a shot at them, but I think if you play that team 10 times, I expect both American teams to beat them 7 or 8, but not on that particular game. Both times they won both, and both of them were very close. Just mistakes yeah. made here and there, little mistakes on both sides ended up costing those teams. You can't make mistakes with those little, you know, little mistakes in big games like that, and teams will capitalize, you know, no matter how good they are. You can't keep those games close. You got to get that 2-score lead, so that way all the mistakes and little tip passes or whatever don't end up costing the game, which ended up costing us the game. It was the rusher tipped a pass and they picked it. Otherwise, it would have been a win for us. Very unfortunate, but it happens.
Yeah, so I noticed that just in general, there's like a lot of international tournaments that have been popping up. I don't know if you saw Caker, LA Showtime. They were in China like a few weeks ago. You know, they got some, you know, hardware from there, really big trophy. But there was like eight Asian countries, I think, you know, involved in that one. You know, there was Mexico had their nationals this past weekend. And then here in like 2 more weeks, Malaysia is having an international championship as well. Is this new to the flag football scene that, you know, these countries kind of all over the globe are having these big tournaments? Or is it just because now flag football is right in front of us, so we're noticing it?
I think it's a little of both. I think the tournaments have kind of happened. I don't think they've had the American people influencing them and being involved in them? Because I know Isaiah Calhoun and Corey Webb and some guys are going to the Malaysia tournament you're talking about, and they're getting free trips out of it. So good for them, and you know, happy for them. Because I was asking Isaiah, I was like, what team are you playing on? And he's like, yeah, they're taking care of me and doing all this. And I was like, right on. Good for you. Go enjoy it. You know, because he's a young kid, man, getting to do that at that age. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So really happy for him. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think they had the tournaments, but maybe they had six little countries back, you know, a few years ago that would have gone. And now they'll probably have, I don't even know how many different teams, probably 20, 40 teams. Who knows? A lot. And China, I know China's trying to ramp up for the Olympic Games. So there's a lot of growth in the game over there within their club teams and their provinces and stuff like that. I know it's going nuts over there. So, you know, the game in general is growing rapidly, super fast, especially this particular format because of the Olympics. Everybody's trying to make sure that they're prepared. And if they get a chance to make it, you know, I think they're only going to take six teams from the men's side, and the women's side will be another six. So you better be damn good if you plan on making the Olympics, because once you get down to the final six, everybody's going to be good. Even if you play, I don't know, 6-3, or I guess it'd be, 6-3 and 4-5. Mm-hmm. Those games are, anybody could win those before they even play the 1 and 2 seed. You know, I'm assuming that's how they'll do it, but I don't even know. Or maybe everybody's going to play everybody through the pool and then seed it and go. But I'm not even sure how they're going to do it. But yeah, so anybody that's trying to get ready by 2028, they're doing it now, you know.
Yep.
You know, because there's a lot of fine tuning that has to happen. And it's not so much for the U.S. It's not about fine tuning for us as much as everybody that we play. We're their Super Bowl. So we have to make sure that we keep that separation and that confidence and just the difference of how good we are versus them, and not allow them to really just believe they can beat us. We have to keep the separation for me at a large margin, because I don't want to approach the game and don't get me wrong, anybody can beat anybody. There's no doubt about that. But I also don't want them to go into the game feeling like they have a 50-50 shot. I want them going, we're going to have to play out of our minds, and they're not going to be able to play as good. You know, I just want it to be where they have to really upset us, or we have to really mess up, rather than we both play well and they still beat us. I like the way it is right now, and all the practice in the world over the next 4 years, if we keep doing what we're doing and staying on top of our game, which it is our game, it is a U.S. game to me, then it's going to be difficult for them to catch us, no matter who they plan on taking. If it's, you know, two NFL players and 10 flag players, or I guess it's only 10 total players that they're planning on taking to the Olympics, not 12, but ooh, whatever those roster spots are filled with, I still feel like it's, you know, a lower percentage that NFL players are going to be able to miss training camp and stuff like that when you're paying somebody $50 million and, oh, hey, I got to leave for about 3 weeks to go compete in the Olympics, but I'll be back for, you know, week one in the NFL. Okay.
How's that going to sit? Right.
Yeah, going to make no money, and there's a chance that some, you know, rusher from another country is just going to jump up and dislocate your shoulder. Oh, yeah, we're going to go our whole season. I don't know. It's kind of a weird deal, but, you know, I everything's going to be open. The path's going to be open for whoever's the best, so that's what needs to happen anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to see, you know, NFL players that maybe are just fresh out of the league, or even some that are currently playing, they are starting to pop up in flag football. I mean, LA Showtime's a good example that they carry – two or three, you know, current or ex-NFL, you know, football players. And Kaker has done a good job of just, like, introducing them to flag football, getting them into it, having them play a lot. And they come in very raw, and they, you know, they get flags for flag guarding constantly and all of that. But, I mean, just what you're saying, it seems like it's now. Everybody's getting ready now. So if these guys, you know, they're out of the league already, they want to try to make the team just like anyone else.
Yeah, those are the kind of guys I think that it's more likely to happen. Because if you, I don't know, it's 4 years from now, Tyreek Hill will not be the same Tyreek Hill. Age beats, I mean, you're not beating age. So nope. I'm sure he's going to still be insanely fast, still an NFL receiver. If he wanted to put in 6 months to a year, I'm pretty sure to learn to not flag guard, not stiff arm, not do things like that, you know, that he's been used to his whole life. Yeah, he can make the transition. There's a lot of guys. And I think the offensive transition would be easier. And, you know, for things like that. Defense, being able to not hold, not jam, not arm bar. Defense as a whole, and pull flags. Flag pulling is it's a true technique and things that you have to do without, you know, literally form tackling and then pulling the flag, which you can do in contact, but you cannot do in non-contact. And IFAPT is literally the difference
between
contact football, non-contact football, and IFAPT. It's all the same. There's a huge mm-hmm. difference between all three. And I didn't know he had former NFL players, though, so that's interesting. And that they made the transition, that's great, too. But I didn't know he took NFL guys over with him.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I think it's – I mean, I think all of this is just interesting to watch, and we're just seeing it all unfold. And, I mean, I want to back up a little bit because you said something about age. I watched this past weekend on Netflix. Mike Tyson looked amazing. So
yeah.
I
sure did. I want some money about how amazing he looked.
Yeah. I'll be honest. His age, he did look phenomenal. But I don't think you could have – I'm not sure if it was fixed or not, but you couldn't have handled 55 seconds in the ring with him if you're, you know, Jake Paul or whoever it was. And he's going to – hit you so hard in the ribs, or even if you have your guard up, he's going to drill your gloves into your face so hard. Like, you know, he's not the same as he was. I watched that man when I was a kid, and the fear that he had in people, just the threat of him literally grazing your face was, I mean, people didn't want anything to do with that guy. They knew that if you don't survive the first two rounds, I mean, if you can survive the first two rounds, you'd be okay. But if you did not, I mean, he was knocking you out, just gone. Yeah. So
well, that,
I mean, it's
that was the name of this fight.
Yeah, but I think I'm not so sure that they didn't have an agreement. I think they had an agreement, dead serious, that they were just gonna take it the distance, both kind of win. He's making $20 million. Paul's making whatever he made, which Lord knows that was.
I think he made 40. His number was.
So either way, they cleaned house just to go in there and, you know, act like they were kicking the shit out of each other when they weren't, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first two rounds, it looked like old, you know, what we expected from Mike Tyson. He came out there swinging, looking crazy.
Yeah.
And for a second, it was like, oh, you know, this is what we're going to get. And then it just immediately just died off. But yeah, from what I understand, they made the longer they fought, the more money they made. So. Yeah. They're not dumb. That's why he's in there biting his glove the whole time.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure the fix was in, but, you know, the fix, I don't know, you still got to see him hop in the ring. And
yeah,
that
was cool.
He had glimpses of his old self when he makes quick twitches and stuff like that. It's like, ooh, shit, get out the way.
Yeah.
So you don't think something crazy like that's going to happen in 2028, that, like, Tom Brady's going to jump on the scene and say, I want in, I wanted the, you know, Olympic gold medal?
I imagine there will be talk about it. I don't think USA football is going to have that, though. I think they want to keep it as professional as they can, but I also think they want to keep it in the Olympics moving forward, 2032, and make it – the game's growing so fast, it wouldn't surprise me that it grew to be one of the more important Olympic sports that people love to watch, because it's still football, and it's not necessarily just football for the U.S. Football is growing so big across the world that it really could be one of those things that people love to watch, like the swimming events and the track and field events. And they're like, oh, and football, you know, it's just, it's become, and basketball, people love to watch basketball. I think it's going to be one of those that stays, but I don't think I'm not saying Brady would make a mockery of it, because obviously Brady could get out there and probably win a gold, especially with the U.S. roster that he would be surrounded with. If he would take 6 months or a year, I don't think it would take him very much to learn to take a snap at 12, 15 yards and just dissect the defense. He's been doing it with 11 people on the field. I'm pretty sure he can do it with five. but, you know, and he's without a question the GOAT. That guy did the best with some rosters where you're like, wow, look at his receivers. I'm talking before he actually got legitimate ones like Moss and stuff. Right. And still got the job done. That guy's he's phenomenal. And in flag football, where he doesn't have to get hit, and all he has to do is stand there, read a defense, and throw the ball, and know, you know, what they're in and stuff. Yeah, I think he could absolutely do it. Now, is he going to be better than a run-throw option team? That's a good question. I don't know. It's a lot easier to defend a passer for me than it is to defend a runner that can throw as well and throw very, very well, like our quarterbacks. So, if I'm being honest, I think it is easier to defend a passer because you don't have to get lucky, you know, 90% of the time against Hoosh is what you would have to do because you have to have somebody that can rush him and cover and everything else for a longer period of time. You only got to get lucky enough to get your rusher to the quarterback. Cover his first two reads. He gets to his third read, but your rusher's there, you know. And, mm-hmm. and the game speed for flag is much faster than tackle. You've got 2.1 seconds. You know what? I'll actually time Michael better the next time we're at trials. I timed Devin, and he got there pretty fast. I think it was around 1.9, 2 seconds, 2.1. And Michael Better was the fastest 20 time we had, including Laval Davis, who ran a 22.1 mile an hour clock time on his little vest or whatever in Finland. So yeah, we're getting there fast. So you're not getting to a third read most of the time. Maybe you're definitely not getting to a fourth. So if you can get lucky and cover his first couple of reads, you know, I would say it's easier to stop right now Brady than Hoosh. I'm not gonna like just take away what Tom Brady's done. I mean, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
But right. You know, I mean, honestly though, if you want to put roster, I mean, if you want to put resumes together, Hoosh kind of is the Tom Brady of flag. I mean, there isn't a thing that kid hadn't done. He's you mm-hmm. know, he won AFFL, $1 million. He's won golds. Yeah, there's nothing he hadn't done. So yeah, he's essentially our Brady.
Yeah, it's like you said, he's the only person to win $1 million.
Yeah, and he won more than that. He won 1.25 because he won the 250. Yeah,
that's right. He won the second one. Yep.
Yeah.
So Pat, it's almost like you had my notes beforehand or something. This is actually something I wanted to talk to you about. Is the GOAT conversations. You know, they always come up. For me, when it comes to basketball, I'm always going to stick with Jordan because that's what I grew up watching. I understand different eras and all of that. So you just mentioned, you talk about, you're calling Brady the GOAT of, you know, NFL football. If you're calling Hoosh the GOAT, is there a conversation that can be brought up about your era of flag football that there is a GOAT that is there, you know, maybe not accomplished winning wise as far as $1 million, but is there a GOAT of your generation?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's a few guys in the conversation. Texas, if you're talking about Texas quarterback, it'd probably be me, Fresh, maybe Lynn. But if you want to talk about players, it'd probably be Black Jackson, Derek Jackson, Black Jackson. If you want to talk about overall, like the true GOAT, I would say either Manny, Jaime, George, or Rick, probably. MOB's quarterback. George had a lot of titles, man. He had way more titles than I had. You know, George knows the game really well. I'd probably, if it's my choice, I'd probably say Manny, just because Manny played on MOB. He also played with George on Goose Crew. He ran routes. He played safety. I watch him run with one of my fastest receivers in his prime and run with him with ease. So probably Manny for me. I think just because what he did on every team he was on, playing both sides of the ball, and the kid could throw. And he won golds with USA. He was right before, when George and I became the coaches. I don't think he was with Eric at all. Maybe. Yeah, I think he was with Eric 1 year. Anyway, yeah, he was. But, yeah, Manny's got golds. Manny's got all the big prizes. They actually beat us in Vegas 1 year when I thought we were the best and found out we were not. But, I mean, you know, I beat him in Tampa, or I guess it was Orlando back then, not Tampa, but at Austin Tindall. I beat him too. But no, he beat me way more times than I beat him. And they were ahead of the game. I think Manny was so good because I think he was like 19 or 20 years old when he started playing Top Gun level flag football 4-on-4 at the top of every game. To come in that young, to be lucky, and like I didn't even learn flag at that age. I was still playing tackle football, you know, and then playing flag came after, you know, tackle football was essentially over for me. So, yeah, he'd probably be my GOAT. I don't know if y'all know Manny. Sanabia, you know him?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Or not, if you ask old guys, yeah. Ask George. I mean, if you want to talk quarterbacks, it's probably George, I would guess. I mean, my resume is very extensive. I mean, I have several national championships, but not like him. And he had, I mean, both of us have lots of little championships. The funny thing is like everybody's like, they get these, you know, national championship titles now. We didn't have it like that. We had maybe one or two a year. And that's when you won them, you were national champions. But it was just, that was it. And there also wasn't, you know, rec, comp, pro. It was just, you're either winning the whole thing and everybody knew that you won the whole thing, or you didn't win anything. Because if you won whatever the lower division was, nobody cared, you know.
Right.
And it's not a shot at those people. I'm glad that they have it now. But when they go on the stage and they're like, yeah, our national champions, okay, you know, it's you are, but you didn't beat Mark and them, and you didn't beat, you know, Supreme or whoever it was. So it's awesome. So I'm proud of those people because they're technically winning the division that they signed up for and the division probably that they need to be competing against, because Chase and Mark and Hoosh and Pablo and Velt and all those guys around and covering Isaiah and Jay High. Yeah. Good luck. You know, that's a tough job, but when we won national championships, that's what we were doing. You know, there was only one team that won national championships. But yeah, my GOAT would go to Manny Sanabia. I mean, that's who I would give credit for. And now if you want to talk about quarterbacks, George and Rick, both, they beat me more than I beat them. You know, I had my couple of prime years where I beat both of them, or I would have beat both of them. Rick kind of stopped playing whenever I started getting really good, but George was still really good too. I think I'd probably give it to George. I don't know how you couldn't. He's won everything.
So how many times did you beat Mike Holmes? That's what I'm curious about.
In contact?
Yeah, how many times did you beat him?
I don't know if I ever did him. I think I only played Judah one time, but I think they beat us. And honestly, it was our first time playing contact. You know what? Here, this is a great story for contact guys, by the way. We didn't know how contact worked, but we knew, okay, we're really good at what we do. This was actually our year. I think we were going to Orlando and expecting to win the four-man non-contact championship. But I was like, you know what? I talked to Natalie. Natalie, by the way, was the lady still running back everything back then. It was great because I knew her as that before I actually met her when we worked together. Anyway, so we lined up on the field, and I didn't run contact. I was like, hey, snap me the ball. Y'all get open. I don't care who rushes me because for the most part, I'm not going to run anyway. Even though I was athletic enough then, I probably could, but zero desire. I was like, y'all get open. I'll throw you the ball. So I literally was just running a certain play, and it really messed them up because they didn't understand why we weren't blocking. I was like, you go right, you go left, you square into the middle. and it was freaking them out because they would send two at me, and I was like, you're stupid because now you've got three, four. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, the first play of the game, we lined up against Judah. I don't think Mike was the quarterback then, though. Maybe he was one year. But either way, they snapped the ball, and they threw a screen to the right. I don't know if it was Twins or Trips. I think it was Trips. And they blocked our corners out of bounds, like knocked them, I don't know, yards off this field. One guy literally got blocked from the starting play at the 5 all the way out of the back of the end zone 50 yards because we knew kind of the rules, but not really. And yeah. they ran that just as a tunnel screen or, I don't know, maybe both or whatever it was. Literally, our guys didn't know what was going on. They were like, what are they doing? You know, they literally got cleaned out. And it ended up being a great game. I think they beat us on the last play. I think Judah did. I don't know. They were maybe the one seed that year. I don't know. But the weird thing is even if they did beat us, we never played contact, but we could still beat contact teams without even knowing what we were doing. We were good like that, but not good enough to really plan for it. We were just winging it kind of guys just to go have fun and get some extra games in, play some different styles. So, no, I wouldn't say I was better than him at that game, but I will say that if I had tried to learn five contact, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but if I had taken the right nine-man contact guys that I played nine-man contact with and some four or five-man non-contact guys with, I think we could have beaten any of those contact teams back then just because they weren't crafty like they are now. They did more we're going to line up and beat you kind of things, and we could have handled it better then. They're like Chad Beck and them, we wouldn't beat them. Because they've seen everything. They've adjusted more. The five-man contact style is different than it was then. More back then, it was just, we're going to line up two blockers, we're going to line up two rushers, and we're going to have two receivers run routes. It was very simple. So I had a chance then. I don't know if the game's different now and if I would have been able to make the adjustments or whatever, because it's a whole different ball game now, in my opinion. It's different as much as even – five-man non-contact is very different as well. We played much more, you know, but we also played four-man. It wasn't – five-man wasn't even a thing back then. Five-man non-contact wasn't even a game. I don't know. I don't think I ever beat him, to be honest. I don't know. But I can guarantee you he wouldn't have touched me on a four-man non-contact field because – and we played the number one seed from his area. And we were excited because we signed up for the tournament and they told us you're playing the number one seed first game out the gate. And I was like, awesome. We're going to find out, you know, how good we beat them like 30 something to zero. and I was like, well, there's something wrong here. But the only reason that they were the number one seed is because they played in USFDL tournaments and it was a big thing back then and you got points and everything else. And I was like, well, this is not the number one team. The number one team is either from Miami or us or maybe Jacksonville back then, because Tampa really came on stronger later. They weren't really a thing either. But Jacksonville, Miami, and Dallas, that's where the teams came from back then. And everybody knew it. It was mainly Miami, a few Dallas, and then a few Jacksonville. But Miami was the place back then.
All right. So you're talking a lot about Florida, and I feel like we just got to bring someone else in right now. When you talk Florida,
told me he was going to be on the call, I would have said, I'm out.
Too late now.
I have to talk to him.
Don't run now.
See, now, this isn't even fair at all because I sit there and just made him smile about how happy he is about Florida. Yeah, his chest all puffed out. Now I got to eat these words.
It's recording. It's recording also. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're still working for me in Tampa, hoes. Don't forget.
Yes, sir. But as of right now, you just put Florida back on the map, so we're good.
All right.
But I do want to say before you even introduce me, congratulations on the Spain thing. Like, I got a couple of tips on how great you did with the defense. I don't know what team you had, but I heard you had like two tomato cans and one actual athlete. And to be up 16-0, like the things you're doing as a quarterback for the defensive, you know, I feel like you run offense. The thing that you're doing on the other side of the ball, hats off and salute. Now, my bad, Ant, do your thing.
You good. Hey, so we were talking a little bit about GOAT conversations. Unc, I don't know how much you heard, but I guess the one question I do ask, because people talk about, again, eras with basketball. They say Jordan couldn't play now, LeBron couldn't play back, you know, back in the day, all this kind of stuff. So let's paint that scenario. If we switch George and Hoosh, swap eras, how do you think that things are going to play out? I'll let you start on.
George and Hoosh, well, back in the day, Hoosh is dumb fast, first of all. George could make all the throws the same way Pat could. Difference between George and Pat, George would get a lot deeper because he had quick hips. He wasn't going to run side to side in the pocket. Pat had hips, pause, but Pat could move in the pocket. Pat can get in. So, and it was four-man. Hoosh is a different breed. Like, one, he's 5'4", five, no disrespect to him. His hips are always low to the ground, and the kid is dumb fast. Like, I consider myself a pretty good defensive coordinator. For five straight years, I had some, well, not I, we had some of the best athletes in the state of Florida. Every rusher you could find. The only one that contained this time was Mike Twice. So I feel like if you put Hoosh back then, if there's a handoff situation, he can do okay. But as far as making reads and throws, Pat and George is not even, it's not even, I don't want to say not even close, no disrespect to Hoosh, but Pat and George will flat out throw the football. Not that Hoosh can't throw.
I'll be honest with you. I think back then, because I played Hoosh in New Orleans in 4-on-4, and he wasn't the same animal that he is now. He
can throw.
You know, and I'm not trying to say that me or George made him what he is. He's learned the game. He's learned to pass the ball better, and he can run. He's always been able to run. But even in seven-man, Hoosh was probably 55% run and 45% throw anyway.
Yes, so, he's going to take off or throw a jump ball, and there's not correct, a damn thing we could do about it.
He was just a two-phase animal that you just couldn't do anything about, whereas I was, and so was George, we were one-phase animals. We were just throwing accurate where we wanted and making reads, whereas he was a one-read system quarterback as far as I could tell in seven-man. Yeah. If you didn't play what they wanted on defense, and he would just take the ball left, throw left, take the ball right, throw right. He was just making quick reads and throwing the ball. And he wasn't, you know, throwing 25-yard outs. He was throwing quick stuff, you know. Seven-man's a different game. They rush from the line. There's a whole lot of different things. But he has – I will give the kid credit. I think I even told him personally 2 years ago when he started running our system and not our system, more George's than mine, but it our offensive system is what I mean.
Yes.
And running it without beating the rush is when I was like, okay – You're becoming a real quarterback now. Now you're not just being Hoosh who can throw. Now you're actually playing quarterback because we put Devin Turner on him. We put LaValle on him, and he stood there, made reads, threw the ball, maybe didn't even run but maybe twice. So he's that kid's an animal now. He's so good. And you know, Mark's that kind of animal too. Obviously he hasn't had the same coaching, but he's the same thing, just a younger, taller, fat, probably faster version of Hoosh. You know, Hoosh has just been doing it longer, but they're both.
I think the difference is, and the hats off to you and George, from me trying to scheme against Hoosh, not that Hoosh, maybe he was already doing it before. I'm not taking credit from him. I'm giving credit to all of you guys. He can read progressions now. When I schemed against him, when I went live to record him and go against him, I want him to put his head down to take off. Now you're not looking up at the defense. Now his head is up the whole time. He's reading progressions. He's in fact, now that he can do that, he's, you know, in my opinion, unstoppable. Like only thing that can maybe even hang with him is just outscoring him with Mark. But the way you guys have got him to now keep his head up, read progressions, bring people in motion. This is how I could tell George and Pat's system emerged. George doesn't have motion in his offense. Pat in his damn pick plays does. I'm a DC. So Pat brings you in motion. It's an old school football rule. I'm gonna bring you in motion to see if you're a man. If you give it up, you're dead. So I've seen him doing some of that stuff also, just the progression over the last couple of years from being with you guys and being also him being the best player on the planet for years. With him and Mark are like 1 and 2 now, depending on who you ask. And seeing the Eric Holidays, the Trunkies, this is no disrespect to any of those guys. But to be the best player on the planet, to go play in the system now. And take a step back and say, I'm going to learn from Pat. I'm going to learn from George. That's the difference between Hoosh and everyone else. Not saying any of the other quarterbacks couldn't do it, but to be that fast and to know I can outrun all of you guys, but now I want to take the knowledge on and learn the system, learn the plays. I'm going to get other guys involved because what everybody doesn't understand about Team USA, we have 12 of the best players on the planet. Mm-hmm. And all of them are divas. I said what I said. So even if they're winning by a lot, I didn't get a touch. I didn't get my score. He's like moving the ball and sharing the ball and things you guys were doing where offense was playing defense sometimes. Like it was a perfect gel of them on him taking a step back to take a step forward was what made the game get to where it is now. So I love his progress. I love his game and all that good stuff.
Yeah, this is a perfect time to put Jacob on the hot seat. So, Jacob, you ready for a start, cut, bench?
Why not?
You got George in his prime. Mark or who?
George, Mark, where are we playing? What style are we playing? What are we doing?
That's very, very important. He's right.
Okay, let's do fives non-contact in Tampa.
Right now?
Or well, George, when George was in his prime.
George in his prime. So you got to. We're going back to the future and bringing George in his prime to Tampa, and then we got Mark and Hoos right now.
And they're playing against the teams of today.
Yes.
Starting Hoos, I'm benching Mark, and I'm cutting George.
Not me. You know who.
I haven't seen him play. I can't.
Who won Tampa last year?
Stop playing with me.
Who won Tampa last year?
Supreme.
Okay. Their quarterback, Brandon Feinstein,
is a
very similar version of George.
They're the same person.
No, shit. Brandon George better.
George is better. They're the same statue in the pocket.
Oh, yes.
That's true. And
very, very similar players. But George, I love Brandon to death, but Brandon's not George. George was a monster. I mean, don't be literally 2 feet behind that receiver on a post because George is not going to miss in his prime. That's tough. I would actually like to ask Hoosh now that he actually has a real offensive system, knows real plays, knows – you know, we're reading here to here. If this guy jumps here, if this guy drops here, we're throwing here. If he would think he's better now or when he was young and running all over the place, because he was still faster then than he is now.
It's not even close. He wasn't – I'm sounding like a hater. He beat us 5 straight times, so he's better now than he was back then.
That's what I
think. He beat us on a jump ball.
Yeah. You think he would say better now?
I would say personally, Hoosh is better now than he was back then.
Yeah. But you got to think that what he was playing with in sevens would cater more back then to what he was doing then than what he's doing now in fives. So he's playing to his strong suit both times.
If you took him before he learned progressions and you make him throw a lot, he throws the ball better now to me. Like he has a better. I'm not going to answer that question also because it was Jacob's question, but he throws the ball better now. He's a much better thrower of the football. I'm going to go back to last week's rule. Let Pat answer the question.
Say it again. Give me the full rundown.
All right. So essentially, George in his prime, Mark and Hoosh right now. We're saying, you know, Tampa fives non-contact. I think a better way to look at it though is let's say fives non-contact, but you're taking 4 rec players and giving them to George, Hoosh, and Mark.
Oh, he made it harder for you. I thought he was about to make it easier for you. He made it more difficult.
But he's
got to
play pro in Tampa with 4 rec players?
Yeah.
Yep, you made it more difficult. I'm not mad at this at all. Good job, buddy.
Yep. No. Wait a second. Okay, then I'm taking George first, then because George can run his system.
You taking George with 4 rec players and pro?
Well, the thing is I don't think can anybody do anything with 4 rec players? I mean,
I've seen you with no, you, yes, you, as I'm an athlete,
you,
you gotta be athletic enough to move with just rec. If you're a statue with 4 rec players, you're getting mollywopped, not you. If you can't move around at all, like let's just say Brandon Feinstein, take Brandon, put him in pro. You compare Brandon and George a little bit. Put him in pro. Hell, put him in a Texas tournament in pro with rec players. Who do you think is going to win? Brandon's team with Brandon and 4 rec players, or Hoosh's team with Hoosh and 4 rec players, or Mark's team, or Pat Alley's team and it's prime. Yeah,
I'm probably going to take Mark because Mark can also take the four rec players and run the defense. He's going to be the best defender without any question of all those quarterbacks. Although Hoosh is a very, very underrated defender, by the way. Hoosh can play rush, corner, whatever you want. I mean, he's very, very good at that too.
Both those guys are five position athletes.
So. Bob, what are you picking those? I'm sorry, I stepped on your toes. Who are you picking?
Okay. So in that scenario, I'll say George is cut. I'll start Mark, and then I'll bench Hoosh just because Mark gives you a chance on defense too. He's going to be your he might be your best defender even when you have the best defenders out there. You know, the only person that for sure is better is there's a few of them. You know. J-Day's a better defender, but I'm not just going to say, you know, a million different guys are even better than Mark. If he tried out just for defense on USA, he would have a legitimate shot. He's that freaking dude.
We should have you guys should have that show one day. Clock's running.
But I will say, I'll go Mark, Hoosh, George in that scenario.
He will give you a starting quarterback for Team USA.
What's that?
I know what he's doing, fucker. Excuse me, my language. You're benching your starting quarterback from Team USA for right now, for a game today.
If I get that, because he's got to play defense. Mark can run the defense, and Hoosh can too. But I think Mark's a little better defender than Hoosh.
I'm just stirring the pot.
Oh, but. That man's won me a bunch of golds playing quarterback, and I don't think it's going to hurt his feelings. He knows that Mark's good, too, so I don't think it's going to – you're literally comparing two of the best players that there are. So
on the planet.
If that's an insult, then you're just weird. Yeah. It shouldn't be an insult to Mark or Hoosh or George just to be in the conversation. Hell, I'm
– Absolutely.
I would love to be in that group. I would love to be cut from that group. I'm not a quarterback at all. Yeah. But I would love
you're having a conversation where you're included. That's all that matters. Whatever happens, you're like, cool. I still won. You know,
it's pretty funny. Mark Ant asked a question last week about directors, and my child was like, I ain't gonna say who my child picks, which sucks. He said about Pat, George, and Unc, and my Elijah being just a good human still. He was like, man, you got put in the group with those two guys. He was cool about that part. You know, sure. Who would you pick? He didn't pick me for the record, but no, you can't go wrong when you want those three quarterbacks. And I'm not going to pick unless Ant says I have to, because there's two Florida guys in there, so it's not fair.
So with the directors, it was me, George, and you.
I think it was directors like overall done shit in life and. You know, who has the best beard, who's taller, who's faster.
We're just losing all kinds of stuff now.
Yeah. You're my boss, so I'm going to know that I work for you, so I'm going to keep it clean. But there was stuff like that. You lost, for the record. You didn't get picked, but, you know, it wasn't my choice. You didn't ask me. I would have chose you, boss.
Hey, Unc, your GOAT, you heard my conversation. Who do you have?
Oh fuck! I thought y'all gonna skip past that. You said Manny. Oh no, that's tough. That's that. When do we start circling Matt? Manny was. These kids don't know about Manny. Manny was fucking. Excuse me. Manny was phenomenal. Like Manny was like Black, but like for you guys, what's Black? Everybody know Black Jackson. We call Black.
Yeah.
Black is the best player, one of the best players ever out of Texas, for the record.
Yep.
If we get this sponsor, we mean Black Jackson. But. I had a conversation with Elijah. Elijah asked if the best players. Elijah asked, "Could Black cover any of the players now?" And I was like, "Yeah."
He says,
Pat's team beat the players now. Like in the format, I'm like, "Yes." So, but with that style, I can't give Manny the GOAT status. No disrespect to Texas, the same way I can't give it to Black because he can't throw the ball to himself. You got to have somebody in charge. You got to have Florida. Like you said, Pat made a comment. Back in the day, it was Jacksonville. There was Miami. Rich had his team. Nobody heard about Tampa until that tall kid came along. Like when we had some player, we had Souped Up, but Souped Up was more of seven man. And so Darius and Mark came along. Nobody heard about Tampa. So the GOAT has to be the guys that have the ball in their hands every play. Now, Manny could do everything. He won with everybody. But he was great with George. I'm sure Black and just Fred could probably go win a lot also. But they ain't winning Roswell that many times without – I give them hell without Pat. So, for me, I love Manny.
They give me my credit.
George's deck, George's, and with George, like you said, George and Pat, when you first watch, as a 6'2" DB that talks more shit than anybody, when you first see, when I first seen Pat, we had a barbecue this little dude. Like, Texas don't care about that, but you guys know how to throw people open. And this, the, we talk. No, I talk shit to everyone, but the talking ain't going to bother you guys in your prime or even now. So the windows that you guys could create, one with your cheating-ass offense and how George would just throw the ball early, that's the difference between, no disrespect to Mark and Hoosh right now, the windows, you guys would throw people open. Now, Hoosh does it. Hoosh and Mark do it more, but we do it in Florida. We're just faster than everybody else. We just throw it to the goal line and go get it.
Yeah.
Hoosh knowing how to read, I got a play from Finland I'm not going to talk about on here. We'll talk about separately. I'm not helping any other team. To where Hoosh had a read on whatever a particular defender did for what you guys were calling, which is perfect. So that's the difference between – that's old school football. That's – you got to know, all right, the DB comes down, I'm looking here. And the state is over there. There are no priests. These kids now don't do any priest that, you know, just disguising things. And that's the difference for me. Manny is one of the best players ever. So is Black. Manny and Black are 1A and 1B. But the GOAT overall is, depending on who you ask, is the person that, for me, to throw the football. To be Pat or Pat or George. So.
Zero problem with that, yeah.
Jacob, you got a GOAT for contact?
If I'm showing bias, obviously, you know, I want to point it to Chad Beck.
He's not biased. He's the best.
But you look at, like, the era he's in, right? So I'm a firm believer in GOATs by eras, not GOATs overall, because it's like the conversation. LeBron's not playing back in the 80s or 90s. Yeah. Jordan's not playing in today's game. Yeah. You know, Kobe, same thing. You know,
Pat literally just said he could play in this era.
No, they all can play. They can all play, but
I don't think they would. Go ahead.
LeBron, 6'8", with his athleticism back in the 80s, would have been just fine. Now, he would have had to have just, but he wouldn't have played the way he does now. He wouldn't have tried to flop because there was no flopping. There was, you get your ass up because we don't play like that, you know. So he would have had to adjust, and if – you know, and it's just generations are softer as time. People can get mad if they want. As time goes on, generations are just softer. I've got two 18-year-old college freshmen, and they're soft as tissue. And that generation is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just different people. Even kids that are 10, 12 years younger than me right now, they're 30-year-olds. They're softer than my generation. And it's the same thing. My dad, oh, my God. God, he was mean when I was a kid. He used to beat the hell out of me.
So are you. That's how you do us. You're mean also.
It's a learned lesson. That's the way. It's learned behavior. I just pass on what was taught to me.
It's love.
Did your butt look like you needed it or not? That's the way I grew up.
You see my dad around my daughters, he's the exact opposite of what he was when I was a kid. Like, who are you? You didn't raise me, you know. But, no, as far as their generations, I think – all those guys that are just transition changing, you know, you said Jordan, Kobe, LeBron would have been great in all those eras. It does not matter. Now, would they have been as good as Jordan? Who knows? I don't know, but they would have been great.
So with Chad Beck, they would have been great, but I don't know if they would have been like the GOAT regardless of what era they're in.
Would Chad Beck be good in that flat? I don't know, but my contact history isn't great. When contact first started, would Chad Beck have been Chad Beck back then?
So yes, I guess I would have to say Chad then, because I mean the thing is, back in the day when he first started, he was playing against the RDUs, the Judas, these other teams, like these other strong North Carolina teams, and it was also him and his brothers. I mean, it was true to the name; it was Bex and One, and that was like one of their friends that would play with him. They were winning game, or they would win some games. They would be losing, but they're losing 34-28. You know, they're scoring points. They're just not stopping anybody. You can't ask five guys to go out there and play both sides in a physical game like that and expect them to, you know, continuously produce big results. I remember back in the day watching before all of them started like hitting, you know, being CrossFit, you know, muscle necks. All of them, you know, they're all tiny dudes. And they go out there and it's, like I said, they're putting 20, 30 points up on everybody they play. and they're making you score just as much as that if you want to beat them. So, yeah, I mean, I'd give it to Chad.
I got a quick question. What would happen if you took the best contact team? Well, let's just say it's Bex plus one. Who won Camel City? Who's the best in Camel City right now off top
of right. Head? God, who did? Infinity won this past.
Well, let's just say overall recently, let's just say it's Bex plus one. And then, yep. Pat, you take your best IFAF team, no matter who it is, and then you take the best non-contact team. Which of those three teams can go play in each other's format and win the most? Could Bex plus one go win IFAF and non-contact? Could TDR go win contact and IFAF? Or could the Olympic IFAF team go win contact and non-contact? Which team would do the best in the three different formats? The three hottest formats right now.
I think the non-contact team would do the best of the three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I think
the reason I used to be a firm believer like contact players could translate over easy to, you know, like they would do well transitioning to non-contact, and I don't see it. The physicality that they're used to and that they take for granted, I think, when you put them on a non-contact field, some of them can absolutely do it because they play both. But the ones that stay in contact and then come over to non, they struggle. And I think it's just the fact of getting used to, you know, running clean or, you know, not being able to touch anybody at all. And if you put them in an IFAF setting, I mean, it's going to be – the first game is going to be ugly. Just because of how much contact, you know, they're going to have from the jump.
What do you say, Pat?
I think TDR has the best chance. Probably. I think the Olympic team can obviously play them in the Olympic style, and they can play them in non-contact style. I think the contact is where they would struggle because there's no size. There's not a lot of size on that IFAF team because you just don't need it. We don't have the Frankies and the Bobos and like that, all those guys that if you had them, then that would change things quite a bit because now we got some guys. They could still block, and they could release, and they could be a problem after that. So, you know, changing the roster a little bit, I think then you'd have yourself a game, and it would really just be a matter of who played better that day, Hoosh or Mark or whoever it is, because that's going to be a game regardless. But I agree. I think it's going to be the non-contact teams that can do all of them better than the contact teams just because the adjustment's much bigger to one side than the other.
And I wasn't doing that to shout out TDR. I was setting this up perfectly. All of you contact guys that blew me up, I'm sending Pat and George a list. The list we talked about the other day. It's also going to other people. All you gentlemen that play contact, that are legit, that are nice, that got on my head. All I care about is Florida and Texas and blah, blah, blah. These I didn't like make you guys say whatever you want. I can't beat any one of these three in a fight and wouldn't want to. These are football guys that chose football guys. So you contact gentlemen that want to play in the Olympics in 2028, you guys have to eventually not reform your game, but come play in the non-contact life. Double dip some, because I can't walk you to Pat and say, hey, Pat, this is the number one DB on the planet in five contact. You're going to go, okay. Show me now. Like, show me that you can cover without touching, without tackling. I just said all that to set it up. So when clock's running, makes his cuts and reels, some of your contact guys, I'm not saying y'all can't put all the best players in the world. You guys are the SEC, especially Camel City. I was joking, guys. You guys are the SEC of contact. That was me just joking around. I'm going to pay Muhammad now. I travel a lot. I don't want no smoke. But please play non-contact formats also. So when Pat has to see, I know you can jam somebody off the screen. I know you can armbar. But in IFAF, you can't do any of that shit. So show Pat, George, whoever else is in charge, you can cover people in non-contact. Or you can do what we had JD do, put your hand behind your back. Shout out that kid behind your back and see. If you can stay with him there, you can do it anywhere. I'll just set that up for that. So now, I don't mean to hijack the show, Ant. My bad. Go ahead.
No, you're good. And honestly, like looking at the clips that I've been posting about, you know, I was talking to Jacob earlier about what I do. I'm literally going through and finding highlight reels, and the camera naturally wants to see the touchdown. They want to see, you know, all the exciting plays, and I'm literally just looking for a penalty. And then I cut it down and I find the penalty. And it's so funny because at this point, every single time I post, you have two different trains of thoughts on polar opposites. Yep. If they are a contact player, basically everything goes. Yep. Everything's good. There's no penalties at all. And then you have the non-contact players that are saying, oh yeah, that's a flag guard. That's this, that, you know, you can't do this. It's so different. And that Unc bring up a really good point, because a contact player, if their mindset is so fixated on the fact that when I step on the field, if this guy dips, I'm going to end his life, you know? And how are you going to translate that into a team trials, you know, opportunity to make the team? You know, it's so different when you got, you know, Pat, you got players that are playing non-contact in Spain. Well, what are those officials used to? They're used to IFAB. So they see any contact at all, and they're going to call it. And if these contact players, and again, I am a contact player. I came from contact. I understand the mindset. But there is such a frustration that they have that they lose it the moment they see a penalty flag. And immediately the first words out of their mouth is, this is contact, let us play. But Unc, you are absolutely right that if these players think that they're better than the players on the national team, well, they got to figure out how to play non-contact before they can say it.
That's that product placement. So now I know Pat said don't play rec. Y'all come play rec at Worlds. Get your reps in and cover some of these UPS drivers and garbage men and regular non-contact, and then y'all can try out for the big show.
You contact me. Bex came to where were we a few years ago and did really well in non-contact. They made it to like Final Four or Final Eight.
Yeah.
They played exceptional.
Years ago in Panama City Beach, they were Bex plus Unc. I just wanted to see them play in every format, but I wanted to get a lot of footage of Chad. And I put them in sevens. They put because I was directing. They got put in sevens. They got put in fives. But every format, they were in the championship game or right there, because Chad, him and his brothers understand the game and that pitches and flips. And Chad can go make a play. He had that dog in him, too, to where, well, all right, I'm going to go make a play right here. Just he would throw to a spot, which is pretty good. So that kid's phenomenal.
We played them probably one of their early years of playing non-contact, because I was still playing, and it was before we played Sickwith in the championship of Travis and Chuck's tournaments way back when. And they were kind of just learning the game. But they did score on us. They couldn't play defense. We lit them up. But, you know, you're talking about somebody that's been playing the game way too long for you to line up wrong and for me not to see it. But, yeah, we smacked them pretty good. But way before they even – the next couple of years after that, though, they did get a lot better at non-contact. I'm surprised they didn't stick with it, considering they were getting better, but they just stopped.
I think they like contact. They started – they do all that CrossFit stuff. And
yeah,
South Carolina, North Carolina, that's contact. That's contact world. So I think it's just where they – you know, what they like. I had a guy say the other day, a young kid, I'm not going to say his name on here, like, man, a dog walked patting him back in the day. I said, boy, shut up. I said, one, his pick plays would have killed you. And two, because you talk too much, he would have picked on you over and over again. And three, with flat and black, you weren't fighting nobody on that field, so they would have killed y'all.
No. Yeah. I if you talk to me, I made it a goal to just crush your whole spirit. I wanted you walking off that field. I'm dead serious. If you talk to me or black – we would come to the huddle and we made it so bad. I was like, we're going to make this person quit playing football altogether. And he was like, I want to crush his soul. And I was like, okay, good Lord. But I mean, I felt the same way. Just don't talk, you know, because when you start talking to them, I'm going to line up a different person every time. Black, go run slant up, stop, go. Fred, go run post out, go, you know, just all these different things. And J-Cav and all these different guys. We literally would just take a turn. You go do your route. You go do your route. You go do your route. You know, four touchdowns later on the same guy, because he wanted to yap about, oh, you guys are not this, you guys are not that. And after the game, you're like, you still feel that way? Do you still feel that way?
We got to keep that same mentality for USA, for flag football. Like Spain, you guys, Pat went over there with a team in Spain, and it went, his team got the championship game, trunking them there. So some people not in the States are talking now. We will kill y'all. Every time y'all play with our best team, I want you guys to come play for World Games. And I'm trying. This is me just now. I'm not speaking for USA flag football or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's up now. We're gonna barbecue y'all in the Olympics. It's our game. I'm trying. This guy to the left. I'm not do that screen thing. Wherever the hell Pat is in the goddamn Brady Bunch boxes. Our USA team. We want to be friendly with everybody. Share jerseys and sign an autograph. We should crush everyone. Don't let it even be closed. We should keep that same mentality. Keep an old head somewhere USA football, whether it's five NFL players and five flag players, it shouldn't even be close, no matter what, with that same concept. Because now they don't, not because you're talking, just because I want us to kill a mosquito with an axe. So I'm hoping our USA football team in 2028, no matter what the pairing is, from whether it being 5-5 or 2-5 or eight of us and two of them or whatever it is,
yeah,
we barbecue everyone. So
yep.
Yeah, but Unc, I got to ask you this. In a tiebreaker situation, isn't head-to-head always the first tiebreaker?
Yes.
Wait. Okay. All right. Well, just wondering.
Yeah. I don't know with this, but yes, here we go.
Yeah, I think I know where this is going, and I'm on board. I'm about this because I.
Oh, you're excited now, huh? Look how excited you are. You smiling.
I only know some of the details about this, but I think you're going to hear about it right after. Thanksgiving on Michael Better and Hoosh's podcast, because I was like, what do you mean? Because so, somebody posted, we were the one seed and didn't make the playoffs. And I was like, yeah. You have lost to a team head to head. You can't be the one seed for one. Yeah. They shouldn't have lost. If you want to be the one seed, don't lose.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They lost to the Bulldogs, and the Bulldogs made the playoffs and they didn't. So. I mean, you know, this, I'm just going to say this because I do cheer for international teams, you know, whenever there's international play going on. This is the second year that YTG has brought a very stacked roster to the Mexico National Championship and lost. Last year they lost in the first round of the playoffs. This year they didn't even make the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, Pat, I hear you saying the national team just needs to continue to just, you know, just dollywop these teams. Well, Mexico seems like they're catching up, and they're not the national teams. They spread out the national teams on this in Mexico. So they didn't play the whole national team.
Wait.
Well, hold on a second. Wait,
Pat, were you there? Were you there on YTG?
That's exactly
right. Stop playing with me, you're gonna make stop playing with me. Stop that playing with me, Ant.
George coaching them. Yeah.
Stop. Yes, it's a big difference. Yeah, YTG lost. Shout out to Mexico. Glad y'all won. I don't even know what all YTG roster was there. I'm glad Mexico got the dub. I like when they win something like that. Come bring your team to Tampa and but then the see team, what it really is.
The team that won it still had Pablo on the team.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Where's Pablo from, Pat?
USA. He's from the USA.
That wasn't the team that beat YTG, though. The Bulldogs beat YTG, and they didn't have anybody from the US.
But I'm not having it. I'm going to set a game
that
plan.
Defense, you know what? Ant ain't happening. Ant want to put a battery in my back. That's fine. The YTG for Mexico was poo. I'm not even going to swear. I'm going to use my Buccaneer voice. The YTG team versus the Bulldogs or the Chicken Wings, whoever it was, letting them young bucks go on y'all like that. I don't know if it was IFAB rules. I don't care if it was a hands behind your back rules. You know, that many points is crazy to me. That just means you guys thought Hoosh was going to score every play, I guess. I'm guessing. I don't know. But shout out to the Bulldogs, you know what I'm saying, getting the win and holding it down and getting better. But it ain't close. When the coaches show up, play the guy. USA football keeps the right coaches on board. When the coaches show up, it's a little bit different. But shout out to the Bulldogs for getting the dub and beating YTG. And I know that's confetti guns for them. And I know Ant argued for the damn underdog. So when underdog wins, Ant's
at the Bulldogs, excited. The underdogs.
And him and his family, he's a weird Philly cheesesteak sandwich. That's what happens. When you put the wrong stuff on sandwiches, you start rooting for anybody.
Hey, there's gonna be a lot of referees from other countries, so I'm excited about this year.
Yeah, shout out to Jacob Black for bringing in referees from far and wide.
Yeah, we got plenty coming from Mexico, and we've got quite a few that are coming from Europe as well. So that's big, I think. Just you get different perspectives, different interpretations of things, and you know it'll make it interesting at least, and take away some of the Oh, I know Ant, you know, he's going to call this, he's going to call that. You don't, you don't get in the monotony of assuming calls.
They take their job very seriously. They want to do it right 100% of the time. They want to move right. They want to be in the right location. And that's honestly 90% of it. And then, you miss a call here or there. I mean, everybody does. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Two worlds having refs from all over the world. And it's cool with those guys. They care about the game so much. I don't go live as much anymore. If I'm live for a championship game, they actually go back and watch. And they send me the stuff where we can translate now. I think Pat just had a stroke. No, they send me stuff like saying like referee positioning, asking like where should you be and where should you move. So I always just say check with Jacob, but they care about the game, they care about the calls and the places and everything else. And are you okay? See, quarterbacks get old and go to fall.
And just fall and fall, turned off. That,
as it happened, I was like, oh no. I will say this, the players are going to have to adjust to the way the refs ref the game, and it's kind of good, you know.
Perfect.
If this guy wants to call it ticky-tack, be ready for it. If they want to, you know, not call it or call certain things that they see, then it is what it is. You get used to the way of whatever they do.
See, y'all heard Pat say that. Pat is the coach of USA football. You guys have to make adjustments to what the referees are doing. Jacob has said that out loud before. Here's the rules. Here's what they're going by the rules. If you're the best player on the planet, make an adjustment. Like I've heard Mark and Hoosh and Trunky says this a lot. Stop crying. Just play. If you're going to call it, just play. Or just, you know what I'm saying? He says other things also. But adjust to the rules and so you can make adjustments to the referees you have out there. And if you like that, you just score no matter what or get a pick no matter what.
So it's the same thing I tell everybody all the time. Back when I was playing, and Pat and Coop and even I think all of us can kind of agree to this, I used to take the first two drives, figure out what they're going to call, what they're not going to call, how they're going to let stuff go, and then go from there. I mean, you're not gonna get the same officials doing the same thing all the time, but you're looking for just consistency with whatever they're going to call.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the funny. If you literally are telling your teammates they're not calling anything, then take advantage of it. Play the game that way.
Yep. Run to his face.
I don't need you to point it out. Just take advantage of it. You know.
Right.
We did that literally this past tournament in Spain. They had two-man crews. So they had a line judge and a side judge. That was it. And the seven-man was on the opposite side. The line judge is watching the quarterback. So this corner that was on my sideline, I was like, use your hands. Use a little bit of contact early in the play. By the time they look at the play over here, they're not going to see it. And my whole team was like, oh, that's brilliant. I'm like, it's just part of it. Yeah, they decided to run a two-man crew. I know how a two-man crew works because Jacob and I have ref games together, probably Unc and I too. So we know as a two-man crew,
we can't
see. So as soon as this line judge the line judge looks at the quarterback, when they run a slant go, if you can bump into the slant before they even turn to look at you, they're not going to see that. There's so many things you can do. Use the rules to your advantage or the way the game is being officiated. As long as you're playing within the rules, what does it matter? They're just going to call it the way they call it.
This takes me back to the conversation we had about you and your pick play where Orlando, Jacob, I told you to admit to it eventually. It's a pick play. It's not a rub. And in past season, it's a pick play. It's a pick play. But that's how we got all our championships.
Now that I'm the director, though, I have to call it different than the way that I ran my scheme.
There it is. Full circle.
That's not fair for you to bring that up in case I have to call a pick.
Oh, no. I'm going to say he's an expert of the pick play. So if he says a pick play, we agree on what he said. Keep that shit pushing.
You know what? That's a great point. So nobody can argue with me. I like that.
Hey, Pat, don't worry. Pat, I got your back right now. You remember the conversation we had in Miami when I was the back judge and a couple of DBs from Florida had an issue with the flag that I continued to throw every single play.
What are they doing?
Hooking on the break of the route.
Yeah, they need to stop that. And I know some. I'm not going to name the players' names, but I know some guys that
don't
do. They do it all the time, and they literally know the ref won't call it every time. That's why you have to call it every time. Stop. Mm-hmm.
Play the game. Called it every time. So I was like, they yelled at me as the director. I was like, look, the man said in the King's English, it's not MMA. Stop putting him in the armbar. You did it again, and you're not going to bully him out of the call. I know where the kid's from. You can go out of barking. He's smiling for a reason. Like, stop hooking them. Play real defense. Like, you're a better athlete than him overall. I'm not going to say the size because I'll say who it is, but you're a better athlete overall. Just be a better athlete right now. Stop bullying. So, who won that game, though?
The thing is, if you're going to do that, you have to learn where and when. You cannot do that in the open field to the sideline where the ref can see it clear as day. And if you do, that's your fault. If you're dumb enough to try that, you're making a bad decision. And if Ant wants to call it every time, which, by the way, I had the same issue, you know, in Chicago calling a game, and I had to throw flags on people for doing it. And it was, look, just because other people don't call that does not mean I should not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they don't usually call that. I'm like, okay, I agree, but they should, you know. Yep. So it doesn't make
Pat, I had the same issue in Nashville with all your national players not wearing their flags right.
Hold on. That team didn't have all the national players on it.
Not in that game, but the co-ed games. Oh my gosh! Like, that
was... Every ref has their thing.
They tried it. So what it was is they were testing you, and you passed. Good job, because there was a lot of Florida players on
It's funny because they remind me that they're on the national team and that they're going to do whatever they want.
So, it's still your field. And but, it's your field. You can tell. You can do whatever you need to do.
Yes, sir. So, all right. Well, Jacob, you have anything else you want to talk about?
Nah, man. This has been great. this has been great.
Yeah, for sure. I think we could go all night on this, but I know that Pat, he is in his Mike Tyson era, so I wanna give him the opportunity to get to sleep soon. So
that's funny, older, but you know what? I'm okay with Pat. Going to bed early. I don't see why that's something that's negative.
I'm older than Pat. That hurt my heart just now.
I didn't even tell you. I got a DM because somebody did not understand the term long in the tooth.
Really?
Yeah.
So and then
that's crazy, but long in the tooth. I'll let Pat break it down so I don't swear and I talk fast.
Yeah, just old. But
I've been here for a while.
But I forgot to bring this up. In Europe, in Portugal, Spain, all that, I rented a car and everything. They were all standard options, which is fine. I can drive a standard, but that's another thing that has really fallen off in the younger generations. Just the ability to one, live not off of your phone. Okay. So you need to understand the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So that can give you a little bit of direction, you know, shocking. And then changing gears and being able to drive a standard is apparently not a thing anymore. So, the whole team was like, "Yep, can't drive a standard." And I was like, "Really? That? I mean, okay."
It's the millennial car alarm.
Wild, yeah. I mean, there you go. You want your car not to get stolen? Apparently, just get a standard. You're good.
We got an old saying, "Good," because like long in the tooth for you young kids means that you've been around long enough for your teeth to grow long. We got an old saying in the hood in Florida: if you can't drive a stick, you're not clutch. I mean, you youngsters got to learn how to do more than just, you know, tech and type. I'm not saying we want to challenge y'all to a game. We will play y'all just for the record. Yeah. I'm going to go sideline coaches. I don't care. But, yeah, but long in the tooth does for you young fellas, you youngsters means that you've just been around long enough. Like, I started playing flag in 1997. Pat started winning in 1876. So that means, as far as football-wise, it's long in the tooth means you've been in the game long enough for your teethuses to grow a lot. And you gotta stop practicing, though, Dan. That's 2 weeks in a row.
What happened?
You gotta stop practicing. That's 2 weeks in a row. You know that's their coach. Coach, the flags is wrong, and man, they're gonna do Ferguson hands again. You're putting your hands up.
Hey, man, all I know is when it comes time to testify, I don't remember. Okay, that's all I got to say.
Plead the fifth. There it is.
All right, y'all. Well, let me just wrap this up. We're the clock's running. We are everywhere on social media. YouTube is the best experience because we literally witnessed Pat have a stroke or something. I don't know what happened there. But you can only see that on YouTube. So you gotta check us out on YouTube. But we are everywhere that you can listen to podcasts. We are all over social media posting clips about penalties and any opportunity I can to dry snitch or throw somebody under the bus, I'm going to do. So you can see that as well. Unc, Pat, Jacob, this has been fun tonight. Y'all have a good night, and we'll close it out.
Appreciate you, family. Great job in Spain, also, Pat.
Appreciate you.